Brother Jeff, thank you, Kendra. Thank you, church. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Just a couple of things I want to mention before we open the Word of God. And we have been talking about building a gym, a worship center, a place for our youth, for our Awana to be able to play games. And folks, we're getting very, very close. And we've already voted to break ground. We've voted to go ahead and go through the process of the financing. We're not going to have choir practice this afternoon, my understanding, because we don't have everybody in town. We've got some folks out of town, so here's what I'd like to do. 4:30 today, I'm going to be here. I want to have a meeting, a planning committee. You can call it whatever you want. It's anybody who has an opinion so that we can get everybody. You know, here's the way I look at something like this. Folks, I'm not a dictator. I'm not a demagogue. I'm a servant. And if you have an opinion, your opinion matters. And if you want to come and offer that opinion, today at 4:30 is your opportunity. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. When we come in here and we start having conference about voting to build a building, we're not going to be talking about what we build. We're not arguing in the Lord's house. No. We're doing what we do for the honor and glory of God. We're going to do it in unity, and we're going to do it together. So we can come together, and if you've got an opinion, we can talk about it. Everybody's opinion matters. You matter. One time God gave me a message, this subject, there's no acceptable casualties in the house of God. You matter. So today at 4:30, here's how close we are. We're getting prices from contractors. Amen. So when we build a building, you can say, well, I didn't want to build that. Today at 4:30, you can tell me. And I have confidence because of what God's doing here. We will come together. I am so excited about what God is doing here. We're going to have a wild game banquet in April, and Brother Chad's already got Tim Lee lined up to preach for us. This is a Vietnam veteran who lost both his legs in Vietnam, powerful evangelist. You can look him up, and he's coming. I'm excited about that. We also are going to have the Servers Bluegrass Band here to play. I mean, we're looking forward to it, but here's what's really exciting. Is God willing, this is the last year we're going to have to worry about renting $6,500 worth of tents.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we praise God for what he's doing. God is blessing. And here's the thing. We want what God wants.
Amen.
And you say, well, you know, how can you really put, if it's, here's how you can put yourself aside. It's not about you. It's about him. And if it's about him, when we come together and we, a contractor came and he looked at what we were wanting to build and he said, y'all really aren't wanting to build a big Taj Mahal, are you? I said, no, it's about people.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes people say to me, and I've actually had people say this to me, I have, I don't want this church to grow. I've had people say, I don't want to build a building over here. Well, let me tell you something. Folks, God has got his hand on this place. The Holy Spirit is here, and per capita, Paulding County has fewer churches than any church, than any county in the state of Georgia. Y'all realize that? It's growing. There's not enough churches. And what we want to do is build a place where people can be saved by the grace of God. Where young people can come and have a safe place to go to on Friday night and have get-togethers. Where we can service the community. I heard a preacher say one time when he was presenting to the church about growing, they said, well, we're afraid to grow. We don't want to grow. He said, well, put a sign out on the marquee that says, we're full, die and go to hell. Hey, we want to serve God. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved. One more thing, and I'll move on. We are having Awana tonight at 5:30, okay? So it's time to get back in the normal worship pattern. And we are having Celebrate Recovery tomorrow night. And Brother Tom gave me some great news a while ago. Said we had 5 saved last week at the jail. Amen? God is still in the soul-saving business. Amen. Now I'm ready to preach. You got your Bible. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 3. And let's look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. Sometimes you hear preachers say, these are my life verses. Well, folks, these are my life verses. These are the verses that when I was alone, and the only thing I felt like I had in my life for the Lord was the Lord. You see, when I was 21 years old, I was becoming a hermit. I was so old, and I wasn't married yet. And I thought I was going to spend my whole life alone. And God gave me these verses. And he taught me, you know what he was teaching me first? He said, you learn to serve me first and put me first. Doesn't the scripture say all these other things will be added unto you? And these are the verses that when I was in a very low period of my life that God gave me, and they've stuck with me ever since. And I want to read these to you, and I'll give you the message that God has laid on my heart. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, here's the message title this morning. It's how to have success in 2020. Now, I begin to think about this, and I thought about a message for today, and this has just been on my heart really for 2 weeks. But it's how to have success in 2020. You know what people do at this time of the year? They make New Year's resolutions. They say, well, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to accomplish this thing, or I'm going to accomplish that thing. Every person wants to have success. Well, the first thing I want us to realize and I want us to look at, and I want to give you what I feel like the definition of success is this. Success, and I believe this is for every person, is the progressive realization of the will of God for your life. You know, sometimes people measure success by this. They say, well, you know, I got that new job. And I want to tell you something about that. And we got plenty of time this morning. We didn't sing a lot. I'm just going to try to follow the Lord. I have seen people come down here in this altar and fall on their face before God crying because they didn't get a promotion. They didn't get the promotion that they thought that they should get. And we pray with them. You know, everything matters. It's real. Life is real for you. It may not be the same for the person beside you, but if you're going through it, it's like I've heard it said, puppy love is real to puppies. Yeah. And what you're going on in your life is real to you. If you didn't get that promotion and you were passed over, it affects you. I've seen it affect people. I've seen people cry. I've seen people reach out and seek God. I've also seen God answer those prayers. I've seen God give them that promotion, give them that better job, give them that company vehicle to drive, give them whatever it was that they were asking for. But can I tell you something else I've already seen? I've seen how it affects them. You see, what happens a lot of times with people is you come and you get what you think that you want, and when you don't honor God with it, guess what happens in your life? It hurts you more than it helps you. Yeah. Success is not getting a six-digit job. Success is not moving into that house that you think you needed to have. Success is not getting that new truck. It's not getting that new boat. It's not getting that new side-by-side or whatever it is that you think that you've got to have. Success is finding and fulfilling the will of God for your life. Because you can get everything that this world has to offer and be ruined by it. That's why the proverb said, Lord, fill me with food that is convenient for me. Why? Lest I be full and forget my God, or I'll be hungry and still. See, the truth is, God knows exactly what you can have and it not hurt you. And I'll tell you where I want to be is right there. I don't want God to give me anything that's going to cause me to fall away from him. Look at what happens in people's lives when they are elected to a public office and they're elevated. Look at what happens, just to be honest with you, with some people when they're given authority. You ever had a boss that when they give them authority, it goes to their head and they go absolutely nuts? I've seen preachers the same way. Here's what I want preachers to understand, and I've said this before. Deacons, get a hold of this. You are a servant. Yes. And if you're given anything, God has elevated you, it is for his honor and glory. Even if God's given you a talent, it's for his honor and glory. It's God has given you intelligence. Get this. An intelligence is a gift from God for you to give back to him for his honor and glory. You see, I believe success is the progressive realization of the will of God for your life. Not my way, not your way, but God's way. Now look at the negative words. Is to lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, that's where we're at today, and that's what's going on. We are in this nation and in this country, we are ever learning, as the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, we're more educated than we've ever been, but are we really more wise than we've ever been? In Proverbs 14:12, the scripture says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You see, we think we're intelligent, and we think we're great, and we think, honestly, most people think they're smarter than God. I even heard a person that was shared with me recently had a conversation with someone that made this comment about, I am going to stand before God and be right. And they were talking about being in disagreement with the Word of God. You know what people think today? They think they know more than God does. They think they can tell God what marriage is supposed to be like. They think they can tell God what life is supposed to be like. And they think they can tell God the whole purpose of being on this earth. And then we look at what we have and we look at how clever we are. Aren't we intelligent? We have airplanes. We can fly from country to country in a few hours. We have iPhones that we can pull up anything in the world that you want on it now. You have computers. You have space travel. You have all the things. Isn't it great to have air conditioning in church? How many of you remember when there wasn't air conditioning in church? How many of you remember going to church and there being an outside toilet? Now, folks, that young people, it really happened. You know what we think? We think we've got it figured out. But the scripture says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, here's the problem. No matter how intelligent we are, no matter how great we are, man cannot solve his own problem. That's why, as intelligent as we are, as great as we are, with our blessings that we have, a 50-inch TV now weighs 15 pounds, and you can pick it up and hang it on a coat hanger. Yeah. However, homes are falling apart. Young people are losing a purpose and a hope for life. I heard this week they were talking about in the police officers, in the armed forces, that the suicide rate was in epidemic proportions. Losing more police officers to suicide than they are by anything that happens in active duty. Why? Because man cannot solve his own problems. The more that we have and the more that we think we know, ever learning, but the scripture says never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, the smarter that man thinks he is, the more decay we see in society. Why? It is because man cannot have true success without God. Amen. And the smarter we are and the better we are, what happens? The more distant that man comes from God. Because we don't think we need God anymore. See, success is the progressive realization of the will of God for your life. And I want to tell you this. We're going to go through this scripture. If you want to be successful in 2020, find the will of God. Amen. And I want to say this. The will of God is our privilege. It is our job. And it is our duty. To find the will of God. To follow the will of God. And to fulfill the will of God. Because true success is finding the will of God. You see, in Proverbs 3:5-6, God tells us how. And I want us to go through some of this. And I want to look at these verses. Look at the fifth verse, the first one. It says this, trust in the Lord. And here's the first point, is there must be a trusting confidence. You got to learn to trust God. Now, folks, I'm standing here before you telling you something that I'm still learning. I haven't graduated. I haven't figured it out. And can I tell you this? Nobody ever graduates from Sunday school. Amen. Nobody ever understands everything there is about the Bible and says, well, I've got it figured out. No, you don't. You are ever learning, and as long as you're on this earth, as long as God lets you live, if it's 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, as long as your intellect is intact, you will be learning. And when you leave, there will be something missing that you did not accomplish. You got to learn how to trust God. And I trust the Lord today maybe more than I did a year ago. But can I tell you that I have walked, even though I'm saved by the grace of God, I have walked years of my life in fear because I was afraid to absolutely, completely just let God have the things in my life. Amen. What do you mean? Well, God's called me to preach. I'm an introvert. Y'all don't believe that, but I am. It takes God. It takes Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you what it takes for a man to be willing to follow God is he's got to believe that God's will is better than his will. And what's difficult for a man is control. Now, don't say amen, Kendra. You know what you want to be? You want to be in control. I can remember one of the worst days of my life as I got up and I walked into the bathroom in our house and I went in there and I fell and I didn't know I'd fell until about 15 minutes later. But I stood up and something was wrong. It was my blood pressure. And by the way, work stress will kill you. You don't have to have anything wrong with your heart. I fell and I hit my face on the toilet and I woke up laying in the floor and I was so disoriented I had to crawl back to the bed from the bathroom. I crawled in there and I pulled myself up in the bed and I was laying there on my back and my head was swimming. And I tell you what my biggest concern was. It's not what's wrong with me. It's not is my blood pressure messed up. It's not am I having a heart attack. But my biggest fear was I'm not going to be able to go to work in the morning. We need a little more of that, by the way. You know what my fear was? My fear was not being in control. You see, but what we got to do really to move forward with success is we got to learn to trust God. Can you imagine a sparrow sitting on the limb? And one sparrow looks at another sparrow and they say, have you noticed all these people running around, how they just worry about everything? You know, the Bible says to be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Can you imagine the sparrows talking and they say, well, these humans must not have a heavenly Father that cares for us and takes care of us the way we do. Can you imagine God's creation saying that about us? Can I tell you, number one, we got to learn how to trust God, not in a program, not a philosophy, not in a denomination, not a preacher, not a teacher, but learn to trust God. So why do we or why would we not trust Him? And here's the number one thing. Because we don't love Him. You say, well, that's hard. But the truth is, you're not going to trust a person that you don't love. Can you imagine a perfect stranger coming up to you and saying something to you? And some of you have been there. Watch your telephones. They say, well, just trust me. Just trust me. Well, I'll tell you something. I know the Lord. I love the Lord. I've been walking with the Lord. And I can hear His voice. Sometimes He says, just trust me, but I struggle. Like I heard a story one time, it was a building, it was a school that was on fire out in California. The parents heard about it just like you would. They were running, they went to the school, and there were kids on the second floor and the smoke was coming out and they could hear the kids and the kids were looking through the smoke and they could not see the parents down below. And a man saw his son and he says, son, I can see you, just jump and I'll catch you. And the little boy said, well, Dad, I can't see you. He said, but son, I can see you. And sometimes in our relationship with God, that's what we've got to do. I want to tell you something. If it was my son on the second floor, they're bigger than I am now, I might get squashed, but I'd stand there. Amen. Just like your God would. You got to love Him. Well, why do we not love Him? Because we don't know Him. See, if you knew Him, what's that song that says, if you knew Him like I know Him, you would know that He's alive. If you knew Him, you would love Him. How can you know God and not love God? And then why do we not know Him? And here's why. Because we're not spending time with Him. Sometimes, and when you're talking to people about the Lord, here's what they think. They think, well, in order for me to spend time with God, I've got to take the Bible and I've got to read 45 minutes a day. That's not what that's about. You see, what God wants you. And I'll tell you a story about reading 45 minutes a day. I heard David Gibbs Sr. say one time he was challenged to read the Bible, not in a year, but read the Bible in a month. And he said he's done it several times. He said it takes 45 minutes a day. Sometimes I talk to people and they want to talk about the Bible. They want to talk about versions of the Bible. They want to talk about understanding the Bible. David said this. He said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. When you open this book right here, you open it in prayer. And you don't open it thinking you're going to read a chapter and memorize it. You open it and say, God, show me today what I need that will help me. You see, spending time with God is like this. The Bible says pray without ceasing. It's a relationship thing. When I'm riding down the road, when I get a call at work, when I see my kid's phone number show up on my phone at an odd hour, you know what I'm doing first? Before I hit the button, I've already talked to the Father. You see, you spend time with the Lord because you want to spend time with the Lord. That's why you come to the house of God. Nobody makes you come to church. Sometimes I want people to understand this. We're all volunteers here. You don't have to come back. But God loves you and God's got something for you. And if you'll come and listen to Him, my heart's desire and prayer is that God would pour something on you that'll help you make it through this next week. Why? You got to want to be around Him first. So you got to trust Him. You got to love Him and you got to know Him. See, I believe that as you come to love Him, you're going to trust Him. And as you come to trust Him, you'll obey Him. And as you obey Him, I believe you'll be blessed by Him. Look at the sixth verse, second thing. There must be a total commitment. Scripture says this in the sixth verse, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways. Now, for some of us, that's different. I look over here to the young people. I'll tell y'all something, young people. If y'all want success, find the will of God. Amen. Some of you are going to be making decisions about going to school. Where am I going to go to college? And here's one, who am I going to spend my life with? What am I going to do? Some of you that are beyond that, you're making decisions about jobs. Am I going to move off to this state? Am I going to take that job? Let me tell you, don't look at the salary first. Right. Look at what God's will is. Right. I can remember one time I got a job offer and it was going to double my salary and give me a company truck and give me a bonus structure. And I looked at it on paper and it was way out in Roanoke, Virginia. I'm not moving to the big city, so it was okay there too, okay? And I looked at it and I thought, And I did it again, Brother Thomas said, But I heard that still small voice. And I listened and I began to say, God, is it your will that I go there? Not is it my will, not is it what I want, but is this what you want for my life? Don't make your decisions based on what you want. Make them on what the Father instructs you through His Holy Spirit. See, if you're totally committed to Him in business, in recreation, in domestic life, in worship life, in leisure time, everything, let me tell you something, God will bless you. I believe that with all my heart. But there must be a total commitment to God. Here's where a lot of people get in trouble. They don't totally commit to God. You know what we want? I want to go to heaven, number one. I'm going to heaven one day, not today. Maybe. But I want to fulfill whatever God has for me to fulfill here. But I want to be ready to go. Now, I know I'm not going to live forever, neither are you. And this time next year, it's very likely that there are people in this building that won't be here. Very likely that you'll already be gone into eternity. So I want to go to heaven. And you know what else I want? I want to be blessed. The fear that I have of living in this life on this side of heaven is this, Ichabod, being written over my life. What is that? That's a word from the Old Testament that talks about the glory of the Lord being departed. That's when God says, all right, you don't want me? I'll just take my hands off of you. That scares me absolutely to death. If I knew I had to get up in the morning and go to work down there at that company and stand and do the things that I do without the hand of God, I would be terrorized. If I knew that I had to come into this church and stand up here and try to open this Bible, knowing that I'm standing between the living and the dead, and everything that I say will be in front of God, I'll be judged for it because this is serious, I'd be terrorized. To be a dad, a husband, without the Lord, I can't do it. But here's the problem we have. Is we don't really sell out to God. We just want the benefits of God. It's like I've heard the analogy. I heard a pastor use this one time. He was talking about the church and working in the church and serving in the church and all the things that God is doing. He said there's a lot of people that wait till you get to the end zone and they want to come running into the end zone and jump up and down, hoorah, about what's going on, but they're not willing to work or do anything to help you get there. Folks, you got to do some work on the field to get to the end zone. You got to have a total commitment. See, here's something that I believe. Sometimes I think we're afraid of the will of God. And I'm just going to be a little bit transparent with you. God called me to preach when I was in the ninth grade. And I've been preaching since I was 18. But there's been times in my life that I was terrorized that God would ask me to leave my regular job and go into full-time ministry. It scared me to death. Why? It's that control thing. But I want to tell you, because of the burden that God has put on my heart in my life, I come to the point that I was growing and moving forward. Let me tell you how it changed. I begin to be terrorized that God would not allow me to do that. Because my heart was so heavy and I was so pulled and I saw such a need and a desire in this world that Jesus loves people and people need to be saved. And there's nothing that satisfies the soul of a man that's called to preach like being in the presence of the Spirit of God. And I had to come to realization, the will of God is not something to be afraid of. But it's what you would choose for yourself if you had enough understanding to choose it. But we can't always see it. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Then in Philippians 2:13 it says this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see, sometimes, I guess the question is, have we slandered the character of God by making it seem like the only choice we have as Christians is to do the will of God on one hand or have fulfillment on the other? Now, I'm just going to tell you something. I'm satisfied being a Christian, but I'm still learning how to trust God. See, real satisfaction, real success, real fulfillment comes from doing the will of God. Now let's look at the last part of verse 6, the third thing. It says, he shall direct thy paths. And here's what that means, and I believe this is where it gets good. There will be a thrilling confidence. Thrilling consequence of serving God. That means that you get divine direction. What the Bible says, what shall it prosper a man, basically, if he has the whole world, but he loses his own soul? What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Can you imagine going through life thinking you had everything that you want, what would it take to satisfy you? It's kind of like, how much money does it take to be enough? If you ask Warren Buffett, he's going to tell you a little more. And if you know who Warren Buffett is, you know that billions and billions. But have you ever known anybody that went through their life, and when you look at them, you don't think about what they accomplished financially, but you look at where they were at spiritually. You see, the greatest thing, parents, that you can leave your children is a testimony that you know God. Bank account's good, but they just going to spend it. And if you give it to them and they don't honor God with it, what's the use in giving it to them anyway? So, well, that's strong. Well, that's true. You see, a thrilling consequence is being led by God. I want to be led by God. I want this church to be led by God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 says this, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." Have you ever said, oh, I just want to know the will of God, and you want to know it so bad, it's almost like you get your phone saying, God, send me a text. I have. I tell you what's difficult is to just be still. But sometimes you have to. You just got to wait. You know, you won't know the will of God for tomorrow. Do the will of God for the next 15 minutes. Then you'll know for the next hour. Do the will of God today, and then you'll see it for tomorrow. Do it tomorrow, and it'll be more prevalent the next day. Well, how does God speak to us? Number one, through His Word. We got a lot of scripture that I can read, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it. You go to the 119th Psalm, and you can read, and you can see. It says in one place, wherewithal, or how, shall a young man cleanse his way? And it says this, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And can I just say this? If you want instruction, don't ever say that God is leading me to do something when it's in direct conflict to the word of God. I have literally had people come up to me and say this, well, I know what the Bible says, but. At that point, I can't help them. You see, God's not going to lead you with His Spirit in direct conflict to His Word. He speaks to us through His Word. Then He speaks to us through answers to our prayers. You see, when we pray, I believe we look for two things. The Bible says if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Here's the number one thing I think people need to understand about prayer is when you pray, you should be looking for the will of God. Sometimes you even ask God to show me your will, Lord, so that I will know how to pray. And if you begin to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, you're going to be frightened by what God shows you sometimes, because before God sometimes does a miracle, He'll tell you He's going to do it, and sometimes God will give you the answer to your prayer, and you don't even want to hear it before it comes to pass. You see, if we pray according to His will, He hears us. We look for God to answer prayer. We expect God to answer prayer, and God always answers prayer. Always. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's not now. And then we want to look for how it glorifies God. Can I tell you this? I believe everything God does, He does for His glory. And when God answers prayer, we want to give Him 110% of the glory for it. When God does things in this building, we want Him to be lifted high. It's not about us, it's about Him. He speaks to us through answers to our prayers. Number three, He speaks to us through His Spirit. I believe in the moving and the power of the Spirit of God. I believe the song is it sung, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Lord comes down. And can I say this? You don't work it up, you must welcome it when it comes. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, says this, the Spirit said to Philip, go near, join yourself to a chariot. Acts chapter 30 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul. You know what we got to do, men, ladies? Is we got to be learning how to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Let God guide us when we're praying and making decisions. When we're seeking out men to be deacons, or we're looking for Sunday school teachers, or we're looking for workers, or we're trying to pray about the future of the church, or you're trying to make a decision about a job, or you're trying to deal with kids that are unruly, and you're trying to learn how to walk and trust God in the midst of a circumstance sometimes that's out of your control, you got to learn how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and let God speak to you. Nehemiah learned that. Nehemiah chapter 7, it says, "My God put into my heart to gather together the nobles, the rulers, the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy." I want God to put something in my heart. I want God to put something in your heart. And can I say this? God's got something for you. I believe God's got something special for you. And folks, it don't all come through your pastor. I've heard people say this. They say, "Well, you know, I really want to be involved in so-and-so mission." And then they come to me and wonder why I'm not going. Sometimes I just want to look them right in the eye and be honest. Well, maybe God's calling you. I just think the church ought to do so-and-so. When you going to get started? See, God might be speaking to you, and you got to get willing to follow Him. It's kind of like this. If you trust Him, if you commit to Him, don't be surprised when God says, "This is the Lord. Come over here." I want that, amen? Then He speaks to us the last, and I'm going to try to close, through providence. Through providence. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 says, "These things saith he that is holy, and he that is true, and he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." I like that. I don't want to kick doors down. Here's what I want to do. I want to say, "God, you see this mountain. Please help me be still and just show me how great you are." And all of a sudden, God does something. He blows the doors open. And you know what happens when people come by and they see it? They say, "Did you see what God did?" Yeah. I don't want people to come by Hiram First Baptist Church and say, "Did you see what the people at Hiram did?" No. Did you see what God did? Amen. He opens and no man can shut. And He shuts and no man can close. He's King. Scripture says that He shall direct your paths. And here's the word. The word in Hebrew for direct is yashar. And it literally means to cut a path or clear a way. Now it's like this. To make right, pleasant, or prosperous, or to make straight. To cut a path or clear a way. I'll tell you a quick story and I'm going to ask Brother Jeff to come back. We're going to sing if God spoke to you. The altars are always open. But folks, you want success in 2020? Come on. I can remember one time, and God has cut paths in my life, and I want Him to keep doing this. I was at work, and I was sitting in my office, and the guy that I worked for, he was going to take another job. I wanted his job. And I was upset, Brother Tom, because they didn't even interview me. They didn't even ask me if I wanted that job. Now, I know what y'all thinking was because you couldn't done it. Well, maybe. But I wanted that job. And I was sitting there in my office, and I was sulking, and I thought they didn't even talk to me. And all of a sudden, remember that Holy Spirit? He's already in my office, but He spoke to me. This is what God said. He said, "If I'd have wanted you to have that job, there ain't enough people in this company could have kept you from getting it." And you know what I said? I knew who it was. People say God don't speak to you. Let me tell you something. If God ever speaks to you, you'll know who it is. Amen. God spoke to me, and all I said was, "Yes, sir." And this is what I said. I was an estimator at the time. I said, "God, if this is the only job," and this is my prayer back to the Lord, "if this is the only job I ever do at this company, let me be the best one." Get a hold of that. Let me be the best one. It's not about us, it's about Him. Yeah. Amen. If you want success in 2020, surrender to God. Lean not unto your own understanding. and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Would you please stand to your feet as Brother Jeff sings? I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I know the Lord. I'm glad the Holy Spirit's here. If you just like to pray whatever's on your heart, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, somebody will pray with you and love you. If you've got a heavy heart, maybe you're trying to make decisions, and I know it's tough. It's tough for me. Come ask God to help you. He said he would. Amen. Would you come? Would you come?
It's my